Pro Tankers, y'all okay? Y'all all right? Y'all okay? Oh my. The Chicago Bulls just lost a prime, won a prime tanking game to the Memphis Grizzlies. Y'all all right? Y'all, I just want to make sure that y'all okay. Another Josh Giddey triple-double helps lead the Chicago Bulls to a victory over the Memphis Grizzlies. And Matis Bouzelis also has another big night. We're going to talk about it all and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host there, Hayes. But more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bull Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content today, y'all. And I just wanted to check on the pro tanking fans. I just needed to make sure that y'all are okay because, yeah, the Chicago Bulls just got a 132-107 victory over the Memphis Grizzlies. Keep in mind, this was the team that was only, 2.5 games ahead of us, I believe, in the tanking standings. And yet, the Chicago Bulls came out here. They pulled out a victory. You had big games from Matis Bouzelis, big games from Josh Giddey. So I just want to make sure, are y'all all right? Because if y'all all right, then we all good. No harm, no foul. If everybody's good, if everybody's okay, everybody's breathing. But I just needed to make sure that y'all was okay. Because I know, there's definitely going to be some hurt feelings and some hats thrown and punches thrown as well with this victory for the Chicago Bulls over the Memphis Grizzlies. But we get another big game. Every starter scores in double figures. We once again have seven players who score in double figures for the Chicago Bulls. Josh Giddey with a 16-point, 15-rebound, 13-assist, triple-double. And what I like about the last couple of games from Josh Giddey as well is that no turnovers, no real turnovers from him when it comes down to it, man. Only two turnovers from Josh Giddey on a 13-assist night. That's really good efficiency. Really good. Josh Giddey usually on like a 13-assist game. We have like 5 or 6 turnovers. Love to see Josh Giddey keep the turnovers down in this game. As a matter of fact, Josh Giddey has 3 steals and only 2 turnovers in this game to go along with those 13 points. That's exactly what you want to see from a playmaking point guard like Josh Giddey. Like, we're starting to see that version of Josh that if this was a better team, this is about the stat line that you should be expecting from Josh Giddey. Once the team improves to a point to where it's an actual like playoff team, you're not going to see a lot of the 20-25 point performances from Josh Giddey outside of the occasional game, because he does like setting other players up. And the starting lineup and everybody, that even Nick Richards, those type of guys, benefited from Josh Giddey's performance today. He had 17 points from Trey Jones. He chips in 5 assists, 5 rebounds as well to go along with 3 turnovers. He has 2 steals also in this game. Leonard Miller, another start for him, another solid game. Not as big production-wise as the last couple of games, but 3 of 5 from the field, 10 points off only 5 shots. He got to the free throw line 3 times as well. 7 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 blocks. Really solid stat line from Leonard Miller in this one. And that's what I wanted to continue to see from Leonard Miller, is just to see him impact the games that he gets in. Makes an impact. It's not always going to be the big point for performance. It's not always going to be those type of things. But in this game, in a game like this, what he did show you is, hey, I could still find a way to find my place, that two-way play that he likes to bring, all those type of things. You like to see that from Leonard Miller. So I continue to be impressed with this kid. I love how he plays the game. I love how he locks in. And I just, I continue to be impressed. And the thing that we said with Leonard Miller, what do we want to see? Him just continue to earn his opportunity. And as long as he's playing well, play the young fella. Let him come out there and play for you. Let him show you what he got. And at the end of the day, like, if he has it, then great. If he has a game where he's looking so-so and maybe not looking as good, all right, cool. Then you don't have to play him in that game. But at least in this one, what we're seeing from Leonard Miller is more that solid play that you want to see from him. So I don't mind that at all. I love seeing, Leonard Miller get an opportunity. You only got 20 minutes from Patrick Williams today with nine points. You get 28 points from Leonard Miller with 28 minutes from Leonard Miller with 10 points. Matis Bouzelis, though, let's talk about Matis's game. 12 of 22 from the field. A better, as far as efficiency night tonight, from Matis Bouzelis, going 5 of 13 from the three-point line today. No free throws from Matis. Take that for what you will. 7 assists, 3 blocks from Matis Bouzelis. Matis, when it's all said and done, could very well end up being the Chicago Bulls' all-time leader in blocks. it's going to be a long uphill battle to get there, but the fact that he's already passed, like Joakim Noah, like Modest Muzelis is so good, man. Such a good player in Modest Muzelis, and I love having him on this team. Hopefully he continues to perform this way for the Chicago Bulls. But this has been, you know, this part of the season has really been meant for Modest Muzelis and his ascension. That's really what this is about, is the ascension of Modest Muzelis. And that's what you want to see, man. So love to see that from Modest. Love Modest Muzelis to just keep, you know, extending his game, doing as best as he can. And we'll see if he continues to put up big games like this. And if he does, listen, there's going to be something there for him. No doubt. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Jalen Smith with 13 points as well in this game. I had 13 and 5. You get 13 points from Gershon Yabusele, 9 from Patrick Williams. Rob Dillingham came on. I want to see how many of Rob Dillingham's points were in the fourth quarter. Not to shit on him or anything, but it felt like a lot of his work came when the Bulls are already up by like 20 points. But, you know, still good to see Rob Dillingham. That you still want, you know, if you're going to get positive play from Rob Dillingham, you need to play him. I have my doubts about him being a long-term part of the Chicago Bulls' future. But again, I'm not one of those weirdos who's going to actively root against somebody on my team. So he scored 10 of his points came in the fourth quarter of the game. So take that for what you will from Rob Dillingham. He played 12 minutes in the fourth quarter. So you know, there you go on that one. But hey, Dilly, 6 of 15 from the field, 3 of 9 from three-point range, 4 assists, 3 turnovers, 3 steals. I'll take that game for Rob Dillingham, a player that's, you know, working on improving his confidence and stuff like that. I'll take a game from him like that. You know, it doesn't all have to be the best. I don't know why I can't. It's not loading your guys' comments. I promise you guys, I'm not ignoring your comments. I see your comments, but for some reason, it's not letting me get your guys' comments today in OBS. That's just a downside about OBS. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know why it's doing that. So I'll try to get that figured out so it's not like that next time, y'all. But I can't pull up your comments right now. I can see them, but I can't pull them up on the screen. But Dillingham, 15 points from Rob Dillingham. It's good to see Rob Dillingham have that level of performance. For the Rob Dillingham truthers out there that still hold out some hope that Dilly's going to turn into something for this Bulls team. So let's see if he does that. Let's get into your comments. We got Mr. Big Fella. Shout out to Mr. Big Fella, who gives a $1.99 super chat. Thank you for supporting the channel, my brother. Says, motherfuckers better shut the fuck up about our future, Modest and Giddy. I heard that, bro. I heard that, man. Felt. We got Melvin in the building. Says, it's something about March, even though worst times when the Bulls are fun to watch. I mean, listen. At this point, like, it is what it is. Like, I get it. Like, the Bulls could have got a little bit of cut down that runway between them and the Memphis Grizzlies had they lost this game. But if you actually watch this game and you're a Bulls fan and you watch Modest Muzelis' performance, you watch Josh Giddey and how he manipulated the defense and organized the offense, and you upset about a win, an occasional win, I mean, I don't know what to tell you if that ends up being the case, man. I don't know what to tell you. Melvin also says, even when Yuki was playing solid past games this season, I never really saw a future with him due to his height. But I don't know, man. I may need to reconsider. His IQ is really good and other stuff, a dog. Yuki Carmore is like, the height is the only thing holding Yuki Carmore back. Like I hate to say that. Like, if you put Yuki Carmore, for example, in even Anthony Simons' body. Like, I'm not even saying somebody who is like, they don't have to be huge. Like, that's a dog, bro. Like, like you said, his IQ is so good as a player. He is definitely a floor raiser as a player, man. Like, and you just can't take that away from him. He's definitely a floor raiser. There are no ifs, ands, or buts about Yuki Carmore and his ability to raise the floor for players around him. So, no, if he continues to ascend, great. I mean, if he can eventually get himself up there to be an actual NBA player more consistently, not just in the G League, great. You know, we've seen players overcome hype before. I'm not saying that it happens a lot. I mean, still the most common thing is that a player like Yuki Carmore doesn't make the NBA. But, you know, who's to say that he can't? And if he does, if he finds a way, so be it. So be it. You know, you just got to deal with it if that ends up being the case. So, you know, you at this point where the Bulls are as well, you want to try to continue to find players that are going to be able to play for you, no matter where it is, no matter how unconventional it may be. If you find guys that can give you minutes and quality minutes, you play those guys. So take that there. Let's see what else we got. We got Lynx YouTube says, oh, man, seeing Madison Giddey shine makes me happy. It is what it is with the lottery. And that's the standpoint that I take, too. Like, we can sit there and obsess over every lottery odd, over, you know, getting all that type of stuff. But, you know, at the end of the day, that stuff's going to work itself out. It's not like we're going from having one of the best chances at the number one overall pick to one of the worst chances, right? Like, we're always going to need some lottery luck. And when you really look at all the players that are slated to go there between, like, 8 to the end of the lottery, there's very similar ceilings there. There are some guys that have higher ceilings that could fall in there, but they're all very similar. So, you know, if the Bulls get lottery luck, great. We were going to need that regardless. If not, there's going to be similar caliber players on the board, whether you're 8 or 9. So I'm not going to really freak out over it like some tanking fans. It is what it is there. We got Gino says, facts. That's what I was thinking. I could never root for my team to lose. Sorry, not sorry, but Modest looking good. And Giddey and Jones are so good. They're definitely one of the best point guards in the NBA. Yeah, I mean, it's hard for me to root for my team to lose. Like, that's just – That to me, that's almost an oxymoron. And that's not to say that I don't understand how it helps the Chicago Bulls to have the best lottery odds and to win in the lottery. I think sometimes people confuse the two, right? I'm not saying that I don't understand what the benefit of losing is. I'm saying sitting there watching my team play. Because, again, unlike some people, I watch every game. So sitting there watching my team play and be like, oh, shit, lose. Like, that defeats the purpose of me watching my team, in my opinion, right? So it's very hard to root for losses. Like, it is what it is there. We got Vaughn in the building says, the funniest shit about tanking fans is they only look at the Bulls side. Do they ever take into consideration how ass the other team is? No, they do not, Vaughn. They do not at all, bro. They don't look at situation at all. Not even remotely, man. Ryan says, do tanking fans know we have the Wizards back-to-back on the schedule? Listen, that's going to be crazy to see that. That's going to be a tank off if I've ever seen one. That's for damn sure. Vaughn says, what's up with the refusal from Billy of starting Modest Smith 3-4 tandem? Is he saving it for next season? The most annoying thing to me so far. The way I take it is this, is that, you know, maybe they want to see these three guys and Jalen, Modest, and Leonard who are actually going to be here next year. There's no guarantee that Gershon's going to be here. There's no guarantee that Nick Richards is going to be here. So maybe as three guys that, you know, could all be that forward rotation next year, maybe Billy Donovan is looking at it and saying, let me get these guys the most reps together because I want their chemistry to be well. I want to start seeing, like, maybe. And that's given a lot of credit for Billy Donovan as far as, like, thinking that far ahead. But maybe that's the case for Billy Donovan. I say maybe. We don't know for sure, but I'll say maybe there. Melvin says, Robin playing solid bit. Leonard Miller is a stud. Yuki's a dog. We get maybe 2 or 3 more stud young draftees, regardless of where they're selected. The rebuild may not be long. I keep telling y'all this. I keep saying this. Do not be surprised if the Bulls are right back gunning for the play-in next year. And I really do mean that. Do not be surprised by that at all. That very well could happen. We got Todd in the building. Says Miller's minutes at the 5 were very solid. His versatility is very true. Very. And then think about this, Todd. You had Noah.
I'm Kiana, and I leveled up my business with Shopify. Once I figured out that Shopify was a thing, I never turned back. I can create a site with my eyes closed. Shopify thinks ahead of us, you know, and it thinks about the customer more than anything. Every day I'm thinking about some other new business, but Shopify is doing it to me because it's so easy to use. It's like I can't stop. I'm addicted.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
Essengay into that as well. And I don't know if y'all saw the pictures that the Bulls released of Noah Essengay today, but Noah Essengay looks like he put on some considerable muscle this season, which is crazy considering he had a shoulder injury for so long. So if you tell me between like the 3, 4, and 5, right, that you have, let's say the Bulls get a big. Let's just say they get a big. I'm not saying they are, but for the interest of this conversation, let's say they get a starting caliber center. And then you look at it and say, all right, between the 3, 4, and 5, we can play Noah Essengay, Modest Muzelis, Leonard Miller, Jalen Smith. We have those four players that are going to play minutes at the 3, 4, and 5, with Modest being the 3 and the 4, Jalen being the 4 and the 5, and Leonard Miller being able to play the 3 and the 4 in a small ball 5 with who knows what Noah Essengay is going to look like too. I mean, it's a lot to balance there as far as that, but I guess because we've also seen Billy Donovan play Modest Muzelis at the 2, maybe you can work out some minutes there. But again, I'm not mad at operating from a place of abundance, right? Just like I'm not mad if a chick has an abundance of ass. I'm not mad if the Bulls have an abundance of talent. We'll figure it out after that point. Like, just let my cup runneth over. Like, just let it runneth over with talent. And, you know, that's what it comes down to. We got Deanna in the building. Says, Giddy, Modest, and Trey fire. They play really good. Really, really good. David Schofield says, rather watch Modest get better, Miller get better, and is winning games than what the Jazz or the Wizards are doing. Man, listen. The Jazz, it's going to be interesting to see the shift for the Jazz because the Jazz are actually seem like, and I say seem because, you know, things can change drastically from you know, whatever happens. But the Jazz now, next season, shift from being a tanking team for like the last 5 years to actually trying to win. And to see how those players that have been there throughout that tank, like if Walker Kessler stays there, Laurie's there, Keontae George, right? Players that have been there for multiple years of a team that's tanking, how that shift happens when you're in winning situations or trying to win basketball games. I wonder what that would look like. But, hey, we'll see. We'll see. We got Vikram in the building. Says, if Modest ever gets the green light on a consistent mid-range, that's a 20-plus point per game score. Could be. Could be. And we'll see what happens with Modest next season, right? Like, Modest is, you know, he's showing more of his bag, which is good to see that he has that there and that he's developing that. And we'll just get to see more and more from Modest as hopefully next season as well, which I think he could come into next season as the number one or number two scoring option, depending on how things go. Deanna says, if Modest can develop a turnaround midi similar to Dirk, he would be damn near unstoppable. And he has the frame for that. Like, if you look at if Modest can develop that Dirk fadeaway, man, that would be crazy. I think I said that after his first year. I think. I don't want to give my – maybe I thought it and didn't say it out loud, but I thought I said it on the show. Vaughn says, Bulls definitely not tanking next year. With the change to the draft lottery, the curve tanking, and expansion teams almost being guaranteed top picks, whenever that happens, there's going to be no incentive. Well, I won't say for one. But keep in mind, most tanking rules that we've heard are going to be more so negative impacting teams that have tanked or been in the bottom 10 multiple years in a row. But, you know, we'll see what ends up happening with that. And, again, the expansion teams won't happen until the summer of 28. So I think there's still a good chance that the Bulls could have, if they wanted to, they could have another couple of years of tank in there. But I just don't think that that's going to be the case. I don't think that. Yes, Noah looked great on the Bulls YouTube channel. Yeah, I mean, hey, we'll see. I mean, he's going to have to prove it on the basketball court, of course, right? But it says something that he's traveling with the team. He's practicing with the team. He's getting shots up with the team. You know, he has the shoulder brace off. He's going to have a full offseason this year. We'll see how he attacks it. We shall see. Abundance of guards is what we're going to end up with. I don't think we're going to end up with abundance of guards. I really don't think that. I think look at it this way. Like, the only guards that we have under contract next year, for sure right now, are Rob Dillingham, Trey Jones, Josh Giddey. Right? Those are the only guards that we have for sure. Now, if the Bulls do draft a guard, which is it may be likely with where the Bulls are drafting between 9 and 10, if they do take a guard there, that means they're probably not going to bring back a Jaden Ivey or Colin Sexton or, Anthony Simons may not even come back. So I don't think – we'll see. I'll say this. AK has a chance to bring better balance to this roster next season, naturally, and we'll see. We'll see. Godzilla Hoopin says, what up, hey? Sadly missed the game. Happy we won. Curious, how did Miller do? Anthony Miller. Leonard Miller played really, really well. Not a huge game. Not one of those games you're going to look at and say, oh, my God. But he came out there and performed well. A two-way player, 7 rebounds, 10 points. He played pretty good. Melvin says, I was 50-50 on whether to keep Nick Richards next season, but I wouldn't mind him as a backup next season. I would like one more center, though. Yeah, they got to find a starting caliber center, for sure. For sure. Romy says, take the best center. No, take the best player available. That's where I'm at. You need another star. You need a star on this team. More so than position, the Bulls need talent. And I think you have to take them. Now, the best talent may be a big. Maybe it's Hein Steinbeck. Maybe it's that. But I'd say take the – whatever you see in your evaluation, take the player that you think has the best chance to turn into a star. Vaughn says, if Jalen, Essegay, and Miller are your three power fours, which two are you prioritizing in the rotation next season? I mean, you play all of them because they all can play multiple positions. So one thing that you'll find about me, Vaughn, I'm not a prioritizing. I feel like the when you have players that can play multiple positions, it's about the minutes that they play. So because Jalen can play the four and the five, there's always going to be minutes there for him. Because Leonard Miller can play three positions, there's going to be a chance for minutes there for him. So You know, I think you go into it, you let it be an open competition in training camp. I wouldn't be surprised if Jalen comes out on top in that one because he's the vet. We've already seen the fit with him and Modest as the 3-4 duo if they're open to moving Modest to the 3 full-time. And I think you just rock it out that way. And at the start of the season, let the way that they play from the start of the season on kind of dictate your rotation is what I do. Gino also says, well, you didn't like my Kawhi question. It's cool, though. I was just wondering because I always love Kawhi. His game is the closest thing to modern-day MJ, and D-Rose always been my – What about Kawhi is similar to D-Rose? I guess I can see MJ to a degree, but even then, like, Kawhi's never been the most athletic. I honestly didn't see your Kawhi question. If you asked a Kawhi question in the chat, like I said, because I don't have my usual chat bot up, I'm not seeing all the comments. So, 815 Entertainment says, I think Giddy, Modest, and Miller could be a problem within the next couple of years. Let's see. That's the hope that you hope for, right? As having those guys on your team, you hope they're going to develop into being a problem for opposing teams and not a problem for you. Like, that's what you hope to see. Reginald says, is Billy capable of developing a star player from college? Have we seen him do it yet? A star player? No, I think if anything, the most that, like, we've seen Billy develop really solid role players, but I don't know if we can say that we've seen Billy develop a star player yet. So we'll see. We'll see, because I doubt the Bulls are going to move on from him. Oh, I meant Kawhi and Rose are always my favorite new. Okay, that's fair. I like Kawhi a lot too. Like, it just at with the years of injuries, just kind of got disappointing there for me. Todd, that scenario with Jalen Miller and Modest and Noah would be relentless defensively. There's a lot of rim protection in there. A lot of rim protection. I told you guys, like, this season, when Modest and Jalen's minutes on the court as the 3 and 4 specifically together, the Bulls were the second best shot blocking team per minute. Now, we didn't see a whole lot of them, so it could still be one of those small sample size rather than large return things, but we did see a little bit of it. I asked how you feel if the Bulls made a legit play at Kawhi in the offseason to add Giddy and Modest. I think we could be a legit threat. Listen, I don't want to jumpstart the process, especially not with an often injured player like Kawhi. Like, and there's no knock on Kawhi, but I feel like you would have to give up a first-round pick. And at this point, I'm not saying that any of those first-round picks turn out to be the player that Kawhi has over his career, but as Kawhi, as an over-30 guy, all the injuries that have been there for I'm good on taking a shot on Kawhi at this point. And like I said, no offense to who Kawhi is as a player, because when he's healthy, he's still one of the best players in the NBA. I just don't want to risk future for right now when we don't have to go all in right now. That would be my answer there. Hopefully that's a good answer for you. Vikram says, I mean, he did help SGA that 1 year, and Giddy had gotten a lot better since coming here. Yeah, but it was 1 year with SGA. And I can't say personally that I feel like Billy Donovan did more developing for SGA than Mike Dangholt did, in my personal opinion. So if you want to give him Shea, great, but I don't give him really a lot of the majority of Shea's development personally. So that's why I wouldn't went to Shea for me. And Giddy, I don't know, like, not to say that Giddy hasn't developed here. It would be unfair to say that. But a lot of Josh Giddey's production here is just the fact that he's been able to play his role. Like, a lot of that is just the fact that he's been actually able to play point guard here, where he wasn't able to do that in OKC. So, you know, those are the things that I look at. So, Lil Famil says, Hayes, I know you've been tough on Mender. Bully been hooping lately. You think we could see him being on the roster next season? I don't know. You probably only saw me being tough on Miller, like, right after we traded for him. I've actually been in Miller's camp for, like, the last 2-3 weeks. But yeah, there's definitely a huge chance that he can be. Huge chance. What up, Drip? I have a weird feeling that the Bulls end up with Darren Peterson. In a world where that happens, how do you think? That's a question from Caden. If the Bulls get Darren Peterson, and you mean to tell me you can have a starting lineup of Darren Peterson, of Josh Giddey, Darren Peterson, Modest Buzelis, Jalen Smith. I still would like to see the Bulls go after a Mark Williams, a Walker Kessler, get a starting caliber center in here. If you are able to do that, that centerpiece is going to be important in that too. I wouldn't be surprised if the Bulls are right back competing for the 8th-9th seed next year if that's the case. I wouldn't be surprised with that. Now, you get Darren Peterson. Listen, we're going to talk about it when we get towards the draft stuff. But, you know, listen, there's not going to be anybody that's more excited than me if the Chicago Bulls find a way to win the draft lottery. It, like, if the basketball gods look favorably upon us, and we win the draft lottery, you're not going to see anybody lose their shit like I'm going to lose my shit. Positively. I'm going to be batshit ass, unconsolable happy. Like, real talk. Extremely happy if that ends up happening for the Chicago Bulls. But we'll see. And I'll leave it at that. We shall see. Gino says, but do you think Modest can be a legit superstar in this league and a superstar we need? I can't say superstar. I haven't seen enough from that. Modest still has a lot of his game. Like, so, again, I'm kind of more, I don't want to say functional. I'm kind of more realistic with my thinking. Is that right now, Modest has shown that he can be a really good starter. He has to make that next step before we talk about star. There's a whole another step. Whole another step that he needs to take to be even viewed as a star. So, we're way too early in to say that. Vaughn says, Peterson the perfect two-guard next to Giddey with how he plays off ball. Could very well be, bro. But that's why, like, if you notice, I'm not letting my expectations get up too high about anything with this team. We're just going to take it as it comes. And once the draft lottery happens, we'll get really into the bag. And that's all I can say. Really into the bag. We'll see. But all right, y'all, I appreciate you guys for tuning in, man. You guys are nothing short than amazing. I appreciate you guys so much, man. Make sure you guys are following us at Bull Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullcentralpod@gmail.com. And lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that is thanks to you, lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See you right if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.